As the leaves start turning, we'll turn you on to some fall wines.
Plus, we'll serve up a great dish to enjoy with almost any wine.
And as always, we will profile a top winery. All of that and more is next.
I'm not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of you. But you must have known I was not a great fool, so I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Wait till I get going. Let's drink. Me from my glass, and you from yours.
It's the Wine Crush. And now, here are your hosts, Laura Lawson.
Sorry I ever sent her that finishing school. I think they finished her there.
And Michael Ambrose.
Oh, God, boy, I'm the oldest man I know. I've got a decade on the Pope.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we welcome you to the weekly journey all about the grape and all its glory, everything that's in your glass, and everything you need to give yourself a smile with your wine.
There you go.
All right, today I am in such a lovely mood because finally temperatures are turning, leaves are falling, and we are getting to my favorite time of year.
Yeah, it's my favorite time of year too. And I'm curious as to whether or not you are actually going out on a limb and finding anything new to drink.
Oh, going out on a limb. Is that because the leaves are turning, Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're funny. Actually, surprisingly enough, I am. I've got into this whole thing. I figure, okay, we can chop firewood. We can get ready for fires.
Chop firewood.
And of course, that means apple season is upon us.
Okay.
And so you think about wood smoke. You think about apples. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Oregon.
You are. Okay. And
I am.
When you started talking about apples, I started thinking about Germany.
Oh, of course. No, actually, I have gotten into some Oregon Pinot Noirs lately.
Yeah, they're great.
We had a guest on the show a while back, Alex Sokolblosser.
Oh, sure.
And his Pinot Noirs, the 06 vintage, have just gotten released. So I got my little paws on one of his bottles of Dundee Hills 06 Pinot Noir. He raved about it, so I had to taste it.
Indeed.
You couldn't just leave it lying there. Sure enough, I got a bottle of that wine, and it is just luscious.
Really? I have been tasting a couple of different things, one of which is some Spanish red wines, a Grenache that I thought was particularly good, and there's several of them out there. But I've got to tell you, I'm opening a restaurant right now, Laura, and I'm drinking in quantity rather than in quality. As a matter
of for something new and different for
yeah,
you.
Well, I find myself being lured towards Mondavi Sauvignon Blanc in the half gallon.
Well, as long as you're talking about being lured, I'm going to pause you right there because I'm sure there's a story here. So let's tune our listeners in first. Today on The Crush, obviously, we are going to be talking about fall. We're going to be talking about fall wines. As always, we're going to have Richard Hake join us and give us a wonderful recipe. And we are going to profile the winery and the winemaker, Paul Dolan. Paul Dolan, as most of you who are following wine know, he is just a legendary man, so well accomplished in Northern California,
right,
and has finally come out with his own winery. And as always, we are going to take your calls and your emails, because after all, this show is not about mine and Michael's ego. It is about you. And so as long as we're going to make it about you, I guess you ought to call in. Fine. 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us at info@winecrush.com. Now, Michael, before we actually had to enlighten our listeners to why we were talking today, you had mentioned something about drinking quantity, not quality.
That's right. For effect instead of taste.
I see. Since we know that you are always worried about your taste one way or the other, my guess is the amount of wine you are drinking has something to do with a small little restaurant.
Yeah, I'm getting a restaurant open. It's a 250-seat restaurant down in Savannah, Georgia.
Yes.
Yeah, and it is more of a headache than I ever dreamed it could be possible.
That's not from the wine? It's not because you're not drinking quality wine?
Well, it's because I spend, you know, I'm answering 300 different calls for applications. We're ordering everything in the restaurant that you can imagine. But there is one saving grace, and that is we have got a gigantic wine cellar.
A gigantic wine cellar.
40 feet by 15 feet in size. It will hold 4,500 bottles. We're going to have about 500 different selections, a big glass encased front to it, display case. It's going to be beautiful.
It sounds gorgeous.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com.
One of our kind listeners has decided they have had enough of us talking, and they want to call the wine line and ask us a question directly. So, I believe we have Mike from upstate New York. Mike, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Well, Laura, I love your and Mike's show very, very, very much. And it's just a great show, very informative. And one of the questions I have, since you're talking about the fall today and the leaves are coming down, and fall means the holiday season is just a couple months around the corner.
Oh, it sure is. Don't even tell us.
Well, one of the things I want to ask about that, living here in wine country in the Canandaigua area of upstate New York.
Wow.
Want to find out what's the best wine to give as a gift and how far out should you purchase it and store it before giving it as a gift?
Michael and I are going to have divergent opinions on this.
Yes, we are.
Extraordinarily so. I think that the best wine you can give as a gift, it depends obviously on how well you know the person, but I think that a vintage dated or a late bottle vintage port is the best wine gift you can give people, whether it's your boss, whether it's your best friend, whether it's your best friend's daughter, a year that they were born. It can have a lot of significance. And also, if you screw up and give a bottle of wine to people who don't drink, the port, they can use it to pour over ice cream down the road.
Yeah, and one of the things Laura didn't mention is that it will last for virtually forever.
Kind of like Michael.
If you put it in a closet and you forget about it 10 years later, trust me, it's going to be even better. But Mike, that's not what I'm going to recommend. I think finding great Bordeaux from great years is the great present to give. It is, in my opinion, the world's greatest wine. And and if you get it a 2005 or a 2000, you've got to have a pretty special friend to be giving them those wines. But that would be the ultimate gift from me.
Well, how do you determine the year?
You really have to go to a wine shop that is knowledgeable and ask that question. That is not a grocery store wine that I'm talking about, and this is for a special friend.
Most of your true wine shops will have vintage calendars posted.
Yep.
And what a vintage calendar is, it would list Bordeaux, and it would list 1945, it would list 1951, it would list the best years that existed.
61, 70, 82, 99, 2000. 2005.
So when someone says it was a good year for this, it actually was a good year.
Really, that's very true.
Yes, and our resident Rain Man can certainly point those out to you. Well,
you guys have been very informative, and I guess I'm going to start perusing some of the wine shops and seeing what to purchase and what to store away. Maybe buy two bottles so I can test one myself.
Absolutely,
giving it as a gift.
Yes, because no one deserves anything as much as you do, Mike.
Absolutely.
All right.
Terrific.
Well, Mike, thank you very much for being part of the Crush. And just out of curiosity, if you get a wild hair, call us back and let us know how the gifts went over.
We'll do just that and love the show.
Great. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye now.
All right. We encourage the rest of you to call back at 877-4-CRUSH-1 and let us know what your thoughts are about gifts, about fall, about anything you're thinking that's wine. For those of you who don't want to call, email us at info@winecrush.com.
And there's always the website.
Yes, and there's always the website, which is winecrush.com.
Right.
But speaking of our kind people who like to email us, I have one now from Paula, and Paula doesn't admit to where she's from. So let's just pick Kansas. Paula's from Kansas.
Kansas, okay.
All right. Paula writes, I've visited different wineries, and they all have the same crackers at the tasting bar except for one. Its crackers were a little sweet. I didn't want to ask why they did that. Can you help? Certainly, Paula, we can help. I know we've addressed questions like this on previous shows, but it's very simple, and Michael's going to throw something at me. Ultimately, whatever cracker the poor helper grabbed while it was sitting under the counter is why the crackers taste different.
And that's exactly right. The sweet ones are townhouse crackers, and the other ones are saltines.
Seriously, the wineries put those out there simply so you can cleanse your palate between different wines. And to the best of my knowledge, there is no reason for one being sweet, one not being sweet. They're all cars crackers as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I think the more flavor that's in the cracker, like you'll never see oyster crackers out there, simply because the flavor will change the taste of the wine.
That makes sense. All right. Well, enough of calls and emails for the moment. We have to take a small break. But when we return, Richard Hake, our resident chef, is going to join us and give us some great fall recipes.
Sounds fantastic.
So hang with us here at The Crush.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was he?
9-17-75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. And you call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper Tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Side. Bring the ball up. See the court, baby. See the court.
Let's go.
Right. See the open man. Go pass. That's
listen good. Carefully.
Yeah!
Okay, get back. Play some.
What do you hear?
Good deep.
Yes!
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes! Yes!
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana. Eating well. Have 2 bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat ants?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
For all sorts of fun information about wine, go to our new website, winecrush.com. That's winecrush, all one word, .com.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we have had a lot of fun so far in the show talking about fall wines.
That's right.
And the seasonality of it. But we ask you to call and reach out to us and tell us what you're thinking. 877-4-CRUSH-1, or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. Well, Michael, you and I are spoiled. I mean, granted, we're talking about fall wines. We're doing a salute to the seasons.
Right.
But we've got to think about our whole listening audience.
Oh, now, where are you going with that, Laura?
Well, think about the poor people in Arizona, or think about people in the Northeast. Most people, whereas we're used to having four seasons,
there are people
that don't have four seasons.
Well, so, they may disagree with you.
Well, that's exactly what we're looking for. Does that mean their drinking habits change?
I would say it probably does, but you've got a point. I mean, here we do have four seasons, and I know that some of our listeners possibly don't, particularly maybe out in California. What do you think about that?
I think it's entirely possible.
We're California
bound. Speaking of people who probably have some kind of seasonal disorder, we are very fortunate in Richard Hake joining us again today. Richard Hake is our winery chef.
From California.
From California. That would be a winery chef.
Maybe he'll have an opinion on this subject.
I would imagine he will. If not, you'll give him one. All right, Richard, brave enough are you hanging out, and welcome to the Crush.
Well, I guess we're still in the dry season here, but we've got the dry season and the rainy season.
Oh, that's great.
I'm looking over the recipe you have for us today, and for those of us who are readying our firewood for a true season, this looks perfect. And I will say to you and to our listeners, number one, our listeners really need to go to the website and check out this recipe.
This is a great recipe.
Because this is one that I'm actually going to try in my own kitchen. So for those of you, while you're on the website in about a week, read my blog and I'll let you know what the fire department had to say. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. We're doing a pork tenderloin, it appears. Tell us what magic you are weaving into this.
This is a slow-cooked pork tenderloin with apples, potatoes, onions, and bacon.
Ooh, sounds great.
Pork tenderloin, you sear it first, and then you'll place it in a deep-sided pot or casserole dish with lots of sweet onions, Granny Smith apples, potatoes, and bacon.
Wow.
And I like to use a lot of herbs, sage and thyme, and we're going to add caraway seeds, and this is going to kind of lend to my German heritage for this dish. Cover it and bake it for about 45 minutes, or till the pork tenderloin gets an internal temperature of 140 degrees, and pull it out, let it rest, and you have this mouth-watering, tender pork tenderloin with the accompaniment of the tart, rich, earthy potatoes and apples, and of course, bacon.
Bacon.
Sounds great.
Bacon,
sounds
bacon,
great.
Bacon, bacon. Okay, priorities. For those of you who didn't like driving with your knees and actually want to see the recipe in its entirety, please check it out on our website, winecrush.com. Richard, what do you want to drink with this?
Well, I was actually hoping Michael could go first so I could come up with something completely different, because I'll probably agree with Michael this time.
Oh, okay. Good Lord. All right.
Well, this is my favorite time of year
Let's see. All right.
It's my favorite time of year because it's my favorite type of wines to drink, and this is the perfect match for French Burgundy.
Really?
It really is.
I had no earthly idea you were going to say that.
It is perfect, and it's the time to splurge. You've got a great value a dish here. You can put a little bit more money into it, get a Gevrey Chambertin. Pop that cork. Matter of fact, get two of them because it's going to blend beautifully.
I know what I can do with the second cork. All right, Richard, what would you drink with this?
Well, wanting to go in a different direction, knowing that a lot of our listeners love red wine, I'm going to go with a Pinot Noir and a cool coastal Pinot Noir from Sonoma, something with some good acidity because you're going to have some acidity from the apples in this dish. So I'm going with red. I'm going with Pinot and pork.
All
okay,
right.
Okay, that's cool. And, you know, for our listeners, French Burgundy is Pinot Noir. So just for those folks that aren't quite initiated into French wines, I wanted to say that I voted for Pinot Noir also. Laura, how about you? What are you going to say?
I'm going to do something a little bit different just because I'm getting back in the fall feel of things. Yes, Pinot Noir is a great pair with pork, but there's definitely more options out there.
Yep.
And I think a Washington State Merlot. This would go very, very well with.
Okay, more the leaner style.
It is. when you looked at something like, once again, my favorite fallback in Washington State, Columbia Crest as a reserve Merlot. It's got a little bit of acidity to it, but it's got great black fruit, which I think would really accompany with the apples and with the sage and with all the great flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it's softer. I think it would meld together probably better than a Pinot Noir.
No, so, but...
all right. Well, nice thinking. It points out to our listeners that it doesn't matter. Pork is one of those mystery meats in the sense that depending on how it's prepared, you can do a Syrah, Merlot, Pinot, Zinfandel, Cabernet. Pork really is the black pants of the meat category.
I know we did the dish about a month ago, the pork chop that was with the garden herbs, and we all agreed on Cabernet. And I think you could also go another direction with this dish as well and go with an Alsatian wine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be
that's
different.
That's interesting. Yep.
All right. Well, Richard, as long as we kind of have you captive right now, I would love for you to help us out a little bit. We had gotten an email last week at info@winecrush.com. That's a little jab to the rest of our listeners. For those who haven't emailed us, please do. See, we do pay attention.
We do.
And our email was, I use a lot of garlic in cooking. Should I avoid certain wines because the spice cancels the best qualities of a wine? And this is from Maria in New Jersey. Richard, how do you feel about that?
Well, it depends on how the garlic's, if it's raw garlic, it can be really hot. And so if you have wines that, California Cabernet that has certain rich fruit characteristics and California wines are known for a higher level of alcohol, the heat from the raw garlic can react with the heat of the alcohol. And I'm not trying to get too technical here, but hot and hot don't work out. It'll make everything too spicy on your palate.
Right.
That's when I like to roast the garlic when I'm having it with Cabernet, like roasted garlic with roasted potatoes and a piece of beef tenderloin. That's when my garlic's going to work with my Cabernet. And I'll do raw garlic more with lighter, crisper, more acidic wines like Sauvignon Blanc.
I think that's the key, though, when we're looking at garlic, period, is you're looking for the fruitier styles. If you start getting to the earthier style Pinot Noirs or earthier style Merlots, all of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of fuzz on your tongue when you're putting all that together.
Yeah, no doubt.
Exactly.
Well, Richard, thank you very much for being such a great fount of knowledge for Michael and I on this show. For our listeners who want to find out more about Richard's recipes, please check him out at winecrush.com. Well, Richard, thank you again, and hopefully we can torment you a little bit more later in the future.
Y'all have a wonderful week.
All right, we are moving from one rock star guest to the other. From Richard Hake, we are now joined by Mr. Paul Dolan. After the break, he is going to enlighten us about some parts of Northern California, another non-seasonal area, and tell us about his legendary time in the wine business.
That sounds great.
More on that when we return.
So, you know, we won the Cup in 06, then we won again in 07. So, naturally, me, Jimmy, Chad, and the guys, we're really happy. And, you know, of course, we've had
What's this we? We won in 06. We won in 07. What, are you part of Lowe's Team 48?
Yeah.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today. You'll get the club's free track record magazine, members-only discounts, weekly club emails, and lots more.
This is Jimmy Johnson. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
You wanna go? All of you who wanna go to college,
wanna go?
You best listen to this knowledge. Listen. You gotta be a go-getter, cause it's hard to get there. Get up in their face, get up in their space. Excuse me, missus. You say you're my teacher, you say you're my preacher. Excuse me, mister. You act like you're large and you say you're in charge. So show me, what is it that I need? So tell me, the books I should read. Somebody hit me with the 411. There are steps to take, there's a job to be done.
I want step one, step two, step three spelled out. All the info is what I'm about. So ask for help and do not stop. KnowHowToGo.org. Let's ride.
That was Farnsworth Bentley with Wanna Go. For more college info, visit KnowHowToGo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking.
Hmm.
You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Many parents miss the important step of booster seats.
Maybe you better explain things to him.
Booster seats raise your child up so that a safety belt designed for adults will fit and protect them properly.
Oh, that does make a difference.
Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Hop in, my dear. Oh, thank you.
And like Cinderella, you can live happily ever after.
It's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
To reach Laura and Michael, call 877-4CRUSH-1. That's 877-427-8741. Or you can email them at this new address, info@winecrush.com. The Wine Crush, your weekly tour of the world of wine and the people who enjoy it.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are having a lot of fun today talking about fall wines. As the leaves turn, so do our palates and so do our tongues, and we're finding new and different things to drink.
Yes, indeed.
Interestingly enough, Michael, we're talking about fall wines, and this is the time of year when you start seeing the wine publications come out with the great list. The best wines of 2008, the best restaurants of 2008. Our friends over at Restaurant Wine Magazine. And actually, I do like this magazine. I think they do a really good impartial job of looking at wines and ranking wines. Have gone through and collected wine lists from around the country. And what they have done is they have taken the wines that are most served and most shown in restaurants.
Right.
Because I know our listeners are sitting on the edge of their seat to know what they should be drinking. Top 10 volume wines, 2007 in the United States. Number one, Kendall Jackson Vintner's Reserve Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
Been there for the top 7 years.
Yeah.
Beringer White Zinfandel. Cavett Pinot Grigio. Sutter Home White Zin. Inglenook Chablis. Echo Domani Pinot Grigio. Yellowtail Chardonnay, Copper Ridge Chardonnay, Yellowtail Shiraz, and Franzia Wine Taps Vintner Select White Zinfandel USA.
You know, I'm really surprised that a White Zinfandel is still in the top 10 list.
Two White Zins. Michael, yeah. Do you know what's not in there?
No, tell me. Oh, you said that earlier, right?
There's Bordeaux. No French wine. There's no Bordeaux. Hey, Michael, based on this list, do you know how America spells Bordeaux?
Not very well.
B-O-R-E-D-O. What's poignant to our listeners as we go into fall season, as we go into planning parties, planning events, if you will look at our top 10 list, these wines all retail for under $15. Most of them retail for under $10. They are easy palate drinking wines.
That's right.
I'll call you later.
Now, over to the wine line. 1-877-4-CRUSH-1.
This is the operator. We need to move on to the next interview.
This is the Wine Crush.
All right, well, I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
In our continuing saga to bring you the best of the best that's offered in the wine world, today on the Wine Crush, we have Paul Dolan. And for those of you who are big on wines and follow, whether it's The Spectator, whether it's Robert Parker, everybody knows Paul Dolan's name. But if not, Paul Dolan, by way of a lot of other wineries, is joining us today with Paul Dolan Wines. Paul, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Well, thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about Paul Dolan Wines. What are you making? What are you doing?
Well, we make five varietals, and we grow some of our grapes ourselves. We buy from a handful of farmers that grow Sauvignon Blanc for us out in Potter Valley. It's a father-in-law, son-in-law team. One grows Sauvignon Blanc, and the other one grows Sauvignon Musquet, which is a clone of Sauvignon Blanc. Has a lot of nice tropical notes to it. So Sauvignon Blanc is 100% stainless steel fermented, no oak, and it's just got a lot of bright fruit to it. We've got a Chardonnay, and our Chardonnay comes from old clone Chardonnay, old vines, which is unusual. Martin Ray, back in the 1950s, brought some of the first Chardonnay over to California that came from France. And so it's a smaller cluster, smaller berry, and so it has a much more austere note to it, a lot of minerality. And that has a little bit of wood. About 30% of it is fermented in French oak barrels. We have a Zinfandel that is a blend of Mendocino and Amador County. I buy a little fruit from Amador County because I've got a friend over there who's been a long, long time organic farmer. He has these beautiful old head train vines. So he has a lot of white pepper in his fruit character. And in Mendocino, we have a lot of that blackberry fruit. And that's a really nice, spicy wine. Mm-hmm. And then Cabernet, which is actually farmed biodynamically, comes from northern Mendocino County here on this beautiful red clay soils. So it has a lot of spicy fruit, a lot of depth, big, big character, lots of structure to it. And then we have this beautiful Pinot Noir, very feminine-like, from Potter Valley. From one particular producer over there named Luke Miller. Potter Valley is becoming a new well-known area for Pinot Noir, and that rounds out our varietals. And then we have a biodynamic wine that we call Deep Red, which is refers to the deep red soils, the iron-laced red soils that grow in the mountains, and that's where our family estate. That's a blend of Petit Syrah, Grenache and Zinfandel.
Oh, that sounds good.
Sounds
I want a
great.
Bottle of that.
Yes.
Actually, right now would be good.
Absolutely.
But, speaking of right now you are talking with Laura Lawson.
And Michael Ambrose.
And we are fortunate enough here at the Wine Crush to have Paul Dolan talking with us today.
I have seen you written up in everything from the Sommelier Journal to the Wine Spectator, you name it, your face has been on it.
But most of the time when they have your face associated with these wineries, they call you the father of biodynamic. Tell our listeners, once again, simple terms, we are every man, and like I said, Michael's having a rough day here in the studio. So could you very simply explain biodynamic for our listeners?
All farming is exploitive in the fact that we're removing nutrients and elements that end up going into the fruit, and we take the fruit away from the property. So we have to replace that. We have to replenish that. So in conventional farming, we mix a tank of chemicals, nitrogen and potassium and phosphates, and then we run that through a drip system, and we drip irrigate the vines in order for them to not only get the water but also the chemicals. Or we could call it fertilization.
Yeah, so that's liquid fertilization then, right?
Liquid fertilization is petrochemicals that we use in order to get those nutrients back into the soil. In organic farming, what we do is we use compost. We build organic compost using the skins and the seeds and the stems along with animal manures. We mix that for a year's time, and then we spread that on the soil, which then in the wintertime grows cover crops, things like crimson clover or purple vetch or California poppies, all things that have a bloom that grow this into this beautiful bouquet about 2 foot tall that attract beneficial insects. The beneficial insects balance out the bad guys so we don't have to use pesticides. Then we turn that into the soil and cultivate it in, and then the microbes in the soil break it down and produce humus, which then becomes food for the plant. So we feed the soil in organics as opposed to feeding the plant in conventional farming. And we believe it makes creates a much healthier environment. Now, biodynamics. In biodynamics, we say it's more than materials that have been removed from the soil. We say that there's an energy that's been removed from the soil as well. So we use these special preparations that were created by a fellow named Rudolf Steiner back in 1924. And those preparations are combinations of plant and animal materials that we either spray on the soil or the plant, and that brings energy and life energy back into the soil as well as into the environment.
Do you have a website where our listeners can go check out your wines?
I do. It's www.pauldolanwine.com.
Paul, I can't thank you enough for being part of The Crush. I think all of our listeners, and I know I will be looking for Paul Dolan wines, both at our favorite restaurants and on the shelves here shortly.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
As we have to head to a small break, we have the weekly wine teaser for you. Who said, both to the rich and poor, wine is the happy antidote for sorrow?
I don't know.
We're getting deep here on
The
Crush, deeper than usual.
Yes, indeed.
All right, the answer to this when we return.
Drink, another drink. Plenty in the cellar when it's gone.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
I'm on a test track, riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of mpg, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max, easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to Z-Max.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level, and a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And it's all right. I just hit my stride right off the bat. Loading my truck on the burn.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
All right, before the break, we had asked you our weekly wine teaser. The teaser was, both to the rich and poor, wine is the happy antidote for sorrow.
Goodness.
Michael, do we actually have you stumped for a change?
I think that's a little too philosophical for me.
I would imagine so.
Yes.
The answer to that is Euripides, the Greek playwright of tragedies.
I see.
Think if any man was actually accommodated with sorrow, it would definitely be him.
I guess so.
Or that, or he met you, you know, since you are Plato's best friend
that's
and
right.
grandson.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So Euripides talking about tragedies, but that's the one thing we want to avoid here on the Wine Crush is any kind of tragedy.
Indeed.
And since we are talking about fall wines, you are sitting down and you are crafting a wine list for a restaurant that will open in the fall.
Correct.
Are you writing your list and your by the glass list differently because the weather's changing?
Absolutely. It's a steakhouse that I'm writing the list for. And so we're going to be predominantly red to start with. But what we do is we feature about 45 different wines by the glass. The proportion of red wines is going to increase. And we're going to end up with a list probably 75% red and 25% white. Whereas on and normally that, you know, that proportion would probably be 50-50.
Michael, do all good restaurants do this? I mean, people who have aggressive wine programs, is this something standard you can see whether you're calling from Georgia, Alaska, New Mexico, wherever?
You know, Laura, it really is. It's pretty much consistent through good restaurants because the ingredients change. You get more earthy flavors, you know, these root vegetables and so forth. So you're needing bigger, stronger, more masculine-styled wines rather than the lighter, easier drinking wines that you get earlier in the year.
I can relate to that. I need bigger, stronger, more masculine people in the studio. All right. Those of you with questions, call us 877-4-CRUSH-1. People who want to comment about wine list or check out Michael's, check out the website at winecrush.com. Well, we always encourage you to call us, and some of you have stepped forth and are brave enough to do that. Right now, we have Cindy calling in on the wine line. Cindy, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Thank you.
We hope we can help you. What kind of questions can we answer for you today?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been reading Peter Maley's books about Provence. And
oh, yes. Kind of, good for you.
Right? Well, I'm all the way up to Encore Provence now.
Okay.
So that has really piqued my interest in wine. Heretofore, I've been really kind of blindsided by it, not interested in it too much. But this has really made me interested in realizing how much there is to know about wine.
Yeah.
And so I have a question regarding wine tasting. He goes into great detail about, in Provence, these different wine tasting events that they hold. How does a French wine tasting differ from one that we might experience here in America?
I'd like to touch that one first. There is a whole series of books that have been written. This gentleman decided to rent a summer house in Provence, and it has since become a lifelong quest to buy a house, to build a house, to renovate
right.
a house, to plant his lavender garden. He can go on and on and on. They are enlightening books, however. For those of you who think that France is all champagne and all people in berets, I encourage you to go out and find the series. One thing that the Europeans have down is wine is like Coke.
Yeah, it's different. It's not on a pedestal. It's an everyday drink. It's what you drink.
It's sweet iced tea. It is anything that we can do and not think twice about. The French do not sit down and do huge wine tastings like we do. They do not sit and consider and ponder and put seven glasses together. It is just simply a matter of taste and swill. If they like it, great. If they don't, move on.
You know, and another thing they'll do is they'll just pour it right into a juice glass for you. It doesn't have to be a stemmed glass. It's usually a small highball glass that you're drinking out of.
Now, in all sincerity, think about some of the rural areas it talks about in Peter Maley's books. And for those of you, imagine the rural hills of Denver or imagine rural hills of Alabama. I mean, middle of nowhere, out in the boondocks. You can actually go to a gas station and they will have pumps there.
That's right.
Huge pumps, like almost look like you would put pesticide on crops here, that are full of wine, that are all locally grown and fresh and wonderful.
And plastic gallon jugs, or 4-liter jugs.
Yes.
That's very interesting, and I'm wondering if I were to begin to take an interest in actually tasting some wines and developing a taste for that, as a woman, you talked about masculine wines and lighter wines. Is there something that you would recommend for a woman to begin with?
I would go to your local wine shop. All of the rosés from Provence and Languedoc, they are all going to be on sale. And if you're getting that deep into the books, and I certainly think a rosé would be very good, chill it down a little bit on one of those days. It might make it up to 65 degrees. Sit on your patio, grab a little rug, throw it over your feet, and just, I don't know, put a sprig of lavender next to you and pretend you're
play like
in
you're
France.
There.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you like red wines, go with a Cote de Rhone.
Okay.
All right. Well, Cindy, I hope we have helped you, and I hope you enjoy your travels through France.
Thanks so much.
Great.
All right.
Thanks for
your
call.
Bye-bye.
All right. Cindy has certainly put me in the mind to go running down that road, and so I think we shall. We are in the home stretch here at The Crush, but we've got to take a small break. When we return, we'll summarize what we're doing for our fall season, and we will also hear a little bit more from you.
Okay.
All right, more on that when we return.
Ori wants us to finish this bottle and then three more. Says he'll water his garden with champagne before he let the Germans drink it. He's looking at you, kid.
The Wine Crush.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Look, Steve, isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
I'm not gonna ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG. Based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The opinions, intelligence, and all-around soundness of mind of the hosts of The Wine Crush vary with how much alcohol, sleep, and stress they have experienced at the time of recording. If you find errors, think that you find errors, or just want to take issue with something, call us at 1-877-4-CRUSH-1. We may return your call or air the correction depending on how moody the hosts are at that given moment. And remember, just because they claim to know everything does not mean they actually do or would admit fault anyway. Thank you.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we have had a lot of fun today going back and forth, talking about fall wines, talking about lists, talking about Michael's restaurant and the amount of wine he's drinking. You should see his eyes. Bless his little heart. But ultimately, when we sit back and we start talking about fall wines, it's all about planning ahead. And unfortunately, our caller, Mike, put it all into perspective for me. Sit back, enjoy your Oregon Pinots, enjoy whatever it is you're drinking, because you've got about 3 weeks of peace and quiet before we start nagging you about holidays.
That's right.
Well, Michael, I know that you have just been chomping at the bit after the whole Bordeaux comment about our list of top wines. The Restaurant Wine publication for 2007 came out with 20 wines.
Right.
All of them are under $8. What are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
I've got the list of the top 20, and the thing that occurs to me is this is at the value end of the wine spectrum. These wines, for the most part, with the exception of a couple, are available for $8 a bottle. So it's obvious to me that the reason that they're the most used wines is because they're coming out with a $5 or $6 glass of wine rather than a $10 or $12 bottle of wine. So maybe it sells more, but I don't think it's indicative of what I would consider to be the top 10 wines
you
by the
glass. You elitist snob.
No way.
Oh,
no.
My God. Hey, listeners, call in. My co-host just basically said that the only reason that these wines are in the top 20 is because everyone else is cheap. Michael.
No, it's because this is the... when you look at a wine list, these are going to be the cheapest wines on the list.
Listeners, Michael doesn't seem to get it. Call in and tell him, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Email info@winecrush.com. What's Michael not picking up on?
No, Laura, I get it. I get it that people want cheap wines. But I don't think it's indicative of the really excellent quality that's coming out of various places right now.
People don't want cheap wines, Michael. They want value wines.
It's a value-oriented
economy right
Indeed
now.
Indeed it is.
All right. Well, I am sure that all of you have a much better thing to do than listen to Michael and I argue. So although we do have differing points on this, we do encourage you, even though we are looking at value-oriented wines being in the top 20, I like the fact that at least people are drinking more. There is one little piece of information I find fascinating on this. The survey gives a lot of little tidbits, but mostly it says for the first time since 2006, White Zinfandel is dropping. That means my hats are off to our listeners.
Yeah.
That you are getting away from the sweet wines, that you are trying to find more sophisticated wines for your palates. So, as we go over list, as you go over list, we encourage you to go to our website, check out the list. We'll have it posted there. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your ideas. But most of all, we want to hear from you because that's what The Crush is all about. As we close this show today, we remind you, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth, whether it's in a $6 glass or a $20 bottle. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And this has been The Wine Crush.